Hello, welcome to your meditation practice as part of the Open Heart Project. My name is Susan Piver. I am very, very happy to sit with you in meditation. We're going to sit together today for 10 minutes, and we're going to start soon. So please get settled, whether you're on a cushion on the floor or on a chair or on the couch. Wherever you're sitting, try to sit somewhere that enables you to sit up straight and feel comfortable at the same time. So before we sit today, I want to respond to an email I got because I think this is a really good question. And the email says, I am struggling with a dilemma that I am pretty sure is common to many people, and I was hoping that at some point in the future, you might have a chance to give a talk on this topic. That point is now. I was reading a book about loving kindness where it was suggested that you offer loving kindness to all beings, even the ones who hurt you. I believe everyone struggles with hurtful people at various points in their lives. How do you offer loving kindness to all beings and still maintain your boundaries? And then this person goes on to say that they work someplace that, you know, that is a toxic environment and can't quit. And in other words, it's an ongoing situation. It's not just one person, one time. It's how do I do this in an ongoing way? And thank you, person who sent this. I agree. This is something that we all struggle with or will struggle with. How do I, as a spiritual person, quote unquote, who believes in loving kindness and intends to be lovingly kind and is willing to experiment with being lovingly kind, even to people I think are jerks, how do I maintain my boundary and still keep an open heart? That's my assessment of the question. So the first thing to realize, in my opinion, is that loving kindness doesn't mean being nice. It doesn't mean being sweet. It doesn't mean forgiving, even. It doesn't mean letting anyone off the hook, especially people who have done very hurtful things to you or to others. Offering loving kindness doesn't mean I love you. Rather, it means something more akin to, I feel for your suffering, even though I hate what it made you do. And that's not going to change. But it doesn't mean feeling sorry for anyone or feeling kindly disposed. So I don't know where loving kindness got that rep for being like sunshine and flowers. It's actually, one could make the argument that it's the opposite. That first of all, in order to offer loving kindness, we have to be awake, meaning aware of what is going on in front of us so that we can see it clearly. And then that enables us on good days to make a choice about what would constitute the offer of loving kindness in this moment. So sometimes the offer of loving kindness in this moment is sweetness and light and being kind and warm and giving hugs and all that. But sometimes the most lovingly kind thing to do is to get angry, to express what you feel, because that is what will cut through the suffering of the situation, if that's what you think. Sometimes the most lovingly kind thing to do is nothing. So the point I'm trying to make here is loving kindness is predicated on your awareness, on being awake, and being willing to look at what is actually happening in front of you. So here, loving kindness has far less to do with being nice and everything to do with being awake. So that's point one. That's a place to start. Point two is in situations where it's really difficult to offer loving kindness, just don't try because it'll be phony. It will hurt. I mean, be like a struggle against yourself. It will maybe be disingenuous. And if you're like, well, I can't do it, then you'll get angry at yourself. So ixnay, don't try that, I would say. When you feel anger and hurt and all the things that human beings feel for very good reasons, begin with offering loving kindness to yourself for being someone who cannot offer loving kindness right now. Because that is definitely a form of suffering. So the loving kindness, when you're in, the boundary is protected when you offer loving kindness to yourself. I am hurt. I don't like this. I don't like what you said. I'm angry about what's going on here. Okay, let me offer loving kindness to myself for being in a situation that I cannot fix, that I cannot change, and the suffering that comes with that. And for extra bonus loving kindness points, when you offer loving kindness to yourself for being in a toxic situation, you could include everybody else that is in a toxic situation that they can't get out of. So the reasonable, I would say, place to begin offering loving kindness is to yourself for being feeling trapped and wishing that you could be relieved of this suffering, and that all beings who feel trapped could also be relieved of their suffering. So that is a really good place to begin. That is real loving kindness. That is working with what is, as opposed to trying to skirt your feelings that are unpleasant and you think hinder you from offering loving kindness. They do not. They may hinder you right now from offering loving kindness to the source of your upset, but they don't hinder loving kindness toward yourself and for all beings who struggle with what you are struggling with right now. So the boundary question is really important too. How do I offer loving kindness with respect for my boundaries? So I think that the suggestion I made protects your boundaries. Doesn't mean you have to change who you are or let people hurt you and be like, oh, well, they're suffering, so hurt people, hurt people. No, no to that BS. I mean, yeah, hurt people, that's not BS, but you don't have to deny your own hurt and lay it down because you think you should offer kindness to the source of the hurt. Start with yourself and the hurt you feel. So I hope that's useful. Please let me know. And if you want to send me an email with a question that I could answer in a talk like this, please don't hesitate. You're welcome to email me, susan@susanpiver.com. I always love to hear from you. So as I mentioned, loving kindness has far less to do with being nice and far more to do with being awake. And what we're about to do right now is practice being awake, aka meditation. So we sit with ourselves as we are, with our grumpy feelings, our enraged feelings, our sweet feelings, our mysterious feelings, and just allow it to all be there. And that allowing creates a real sense of space within ourselves. So you're not always trying to strong arm yourself. Well, if I was really spiritual, I'd do this. Or if I was a better person, I'd do that. We can set all of that down right now or forever, if you could, because those things create obstacles to the real practice, which is working with what presents itself and making it part of your path. So I hope that makes sense. So let's sit. Begin your practice by establishing the posture from the ground up. The legs are crossed loosely in front, as mentioned, or if you're in a chair and you can sit with your feet flat on the floor, that's good, but if that's uncomfortable, then it's not good, so sit comfortably. The hands rest on the legs, palms down. This is actually a mudra. It's called resting the mind mudra, and that's what we're doing here. We're resting our minds. Sit up straight to the best of your ability, but not stiff. More like a proclamation of your dignity. Let the front body be soft. You can relax the belly, the chest, the throat. And let the shoulders relax. There's nothing to carry or tote right now. So if you had any such feeling, imagine that some really nice person just lifted whatever you were carrying off your back and set it down, and your shoulders could remember what it feels like to just be free. The chin is tucked a little bit, so the back of the neck is long. The mouth is closed, but the lips and teeth can be slightly parted. It helps the jaw to relax. And you can let all the muscles of speech soften. The jaw, the tongue, the throat. And you could also relax the inclination to speak, because you don't need any of those things right now. And you could notice that if you look inside, there is no one in there talking. It is quiet. So you can like rest in your own natural quietude, which is always there. The breath is natural in and out through the nose, meaning just normal breathing. Whatever you were doing before I said that, just keep doing that. Unless you have a cold, just breathe comfortably in all cases. The eyes are open, because this is where we can be awake. The gaze is soft and cast down to a comfortable spot in front, up to 6 feet or so, or 2 meters, given the distance of your screen, whatever feels comfortable. If your mind feels really speedy, you could experiment with a lower gaze. If your mind feels really dull, you could experiment with a little bit of a higher gaze. But basically, you're looking down. And let the brow relax. Now let your attention rest on the feeling of your breath. We're not noticing it, we're feeling it. Those are two different things. So just let the attention rest on the sway of the breath, like the breath was a hammock that you could just put your mind in, and let it be carried by the swaying motion of the hammock, AKA your breath, feeling the body breathe. Turns out the mind loves to rest on the breath. Your mind will continue to make thoughts, just like your eyes continue to see and your ears continue to hear. There's no off switch, nor does there need to be one. Just let your mind be as it is. No problem, whatever's going on in there. Let your primary attention be on your breath. And thoughts can sort of recede into the background. And should you notice that you have become absorbed in thought, meaning thought has come so far back into the foreground that you don't have any more awareness of your breath, oh, you spaced out. Okay, cool. Notice that. Label that moment thinking. Very good to be able to do that. You wake up in the middle of your own mind and you see that's thinking, not meditating. Let go of your thought, gently. And also gently, just come back to this breath and begin again, feeling the body breathe. So this is our practice. And we'll sit together in silence for a few minutes until you hear the bell. Thank you so much for your practice. Thank you for practicing with me. Thank you for practicing together. And please remember that when it comes to loving kindness, it is always most helpful to start with what is rather than what you think ought to be. So, see you next week.